These are verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Thanks, Ruth. This analogy might fall flat with some of you, or it might resonate with a lot of you. But when we're at home and we invite or we have different types of guests, how do we respond to those guests? Do you have those friends who could phone you up and say, I'm popping round in 10 minutes? And you feel really comfortable with that. You'd look round at how your house is. You'd look in the fridge and say, yeah, we can get you a ham sandwich. Come round. House is a mess. Doesn't matter. Have you all got those sort of friends? Or what about those friends where you think, oh, hang on a minute. I've got a bit of tidying to do before they come round. Oh, I've got to do a bit of shopping, maybe nip to Asda, get some things in to be a bit hospitable to them. Or maybe you've got those guests who's like, spend the day before tidying the house, hoovering the corners, dusting, getting out your best china, shopping trip to Waitrose maybe. You know, we all have those guests, don't we? They're all different types of people that we know, and we respond differently to them because their expectations are different. I haven't named any of those guests that I think of for lots of reasons. And some of them might be in this room, so don't even feel bad about that. But what is it? The trouble we have is, would we have all those sort of guests with us at the same time? What if they all turned up at once? You have to serve some Waitrose, some Asda, some a ham sandwich. Would the people eating the ham sandwich be happy with that? Or would they go, why, your house is so tidy. Someone special coming round. When we think about church and gathering together, that is the problem that often happens, is that people's expectations of what it's about to meet up, whether it be on a Sunday morning or as a life group or any other groups that we have as part of our life here at Raleigh Baptist, is that everyone has an expectation or a desire or a set of rules or whatever it is, traditions, experience, that all come together. And it's very difficult and to get everything that everyone expects into one service or one life group. sometimes life groups sort of inherit a sort of tradition of their own, and everyone's comfortable with how they do things, which is great. But even speaking to people about life groups, there's still some things that people do in life groups. They're like, I'm not happy with that, or I would do things differently. And we get comments like that about Sundays as well. And there's nothing bad about that. There's nothing bad about people saying, I like these sort of songs, I like those sort of songs. I like guitar, I like piano. I like short preachers, I like long preachers. I've had that. I kid you not. I've preached, and within 10 minutes of the end of service, someone said, I liked what you said, you spoke too long. And then 3 minutes later, someone said, I love what you said, you need to speak more on that. And, you know, what are we supposed to do? What are any of us supposed to do to get some sort of happiness or unity in that? In case you're not aware, we're having little looks at in ourselves about shifting things from culture and, as you saw from the video, mindset of what it means to scatter and gather as God's people. And Ricky spoke last week about scattering, which is where we are for the majority of the week as a church community. Whether we're at school, work, whether we're retired, wherever we find ourselves, we spend more time in those places than we do gathered in a church building. Yet we seem to prioritise what we do on a Sunday morning above all other things. Gatherings are important, but we need to change and think what it is about gathering that is so important. What is the purpose and point of getting together? For some of us, we view church as our best dinner party, getting on our suits and our ties, best behaviour, do the right things, say the right things. For some of us, Sunday mornings can be very messy. Kids running around, not getting dressed. Can't relate to that. No time to shower, thankfully did this morning. We arrive late, we've got scruffy hair. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular when I say that as well, but we come with different experiences of not just Sunday morning, but of the week before as well. Different attitudes. We might have had a brilliant week, and we come together in a great mood, really ready to hear God and experience what's going to happen. Some of us, we've had a desperate week. Some may have lost someone to illness or diagnosed something like cancer. Tough week at work. Deadlines. Issues with our co-workers. Some of us might have had the opportunity to speak about Jesus. Some of us might not. And we're a bit scared to come along in case someone says those words. How's your week been? Have you spoken about Jesus? Have you encountered him? And you're like, ugh. But as we gather, we have an opportunity to serve, encourage, and guide each other in the limited time we have. We all have an opportunity to make that gathering time a positive experience for everyone and to meet the needs of everyone's expectations. But how do we do that? Do we do that from the front? No. As a leadership, and we know God's been stirring the congregation because I've had a few meetings the last few weeks of people saying, I'm feeling this about Sunday mornings. And it's like, well, funny you should say that because we've had similar stirrings as well. What is the purpose of it? I say gathering, when we gather as Christians, it's not just about Sunday mornings. It's about life groups. It's about the youth work. It's about meeting up with someone for a coffee. It's wherever you meet other Christians. That's what we consider a gathering. And what do we do in those occasions? What is it that we meet up with people for? Why do people phone me and say, can we meet up for a chat? Why do you phone each other and meet up for coffee? It's not just because we love coffee. The verses that we've read highlight the fact that we're all different and we should expect to be different. We're not trying to create identical, really Baptist members, robots who do everything that we need them to do. That's not what this is about. We're all different. And verse 27 is one that stuck out at me from those reading. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's not Ricky and Stuart are the body of Christ, and they are the part of it. It's not Ricky, Stuart, the elders, the trustees, the leaders of our groups, life group leaders. It doesn't separate any hierarchy or group of people. It's you, and you, and you, our body of Christ, and you are part of it. There's no escape from it, no excuse, no holiday. You can't hide from being a part of Christ's body, which we call the church, if you know Jesus as your Saviour. Church is not a building, although we sometimes refer to the building as church. Church is not a Sunday service, although we do refer it as coming to church. Church is not an event we invite people to, although we do refer to church in that manner. None of those things are wrong. We're not going to change that. But church is a group of people, whether we're gathered or scattered, and we have a part to play in that. And our concern, or hope, or desire, is that we all find our part and play it to build up God's kingdom. What does that mean for us in terms of what Paul's saying to Corinthians? Well, we are going to change slightly how we do things on a Sunday. And for some of us, that's going to be a bit of a journey. For some others, a shorter journey. And when I say change things, it's not going to be drastic. But what we want to do is create opportunities for people to play their part, which might not have something, which might not have happened in the past. You are the body of Christ. So as an individual, you are responsible, accountable for your actions because of what you choose or choose not to do. You. Sometimes that affects others in ways we don't understand or don't know about. But you can choose to play your part and step up and become part of what God's doing, or you can choose not to. And choose to maybe come along, sit down, sing a few songs, go home. That might be your lot. But that means you're missing out on what God's promised us and you. There's going to be someone in the fellowship who's going to miss out because you didn't play your part. Sometimes I've left church and not spoken to anyone, and it's been a bit sad. But when I do engage with people, I go home and I think about, I've spoken with that person and they said something to me which has helped me. I've said something to them which has helped them. That wouldn't have happened if you just stay in your own little bubble. Which is quite ironic considering the situation we're in. You are the body of Christ, but as an individual, when you become a Christian, you become something bigger than yourself. You cannot think like an individual anymore. We're not like the Borg. Resistance is futile. That's a Star Trek reference, for those who don't know, who just capture people and turn them into robots like themselves. You still have a voice as an individual. You're still an individual person, but you have a part to play that brings the body into action, that encourages other people, that brings people into a greater understanding of their part too. Now, what I'm not going to do today is preach on the gifts. There's going to be an opportunity for those in life groups to explore those gifts with some questions that have been set on the website. If you're not part of a life group, then you can go to our website and go to life groups and download those questions and think about them for yourselves. Or if you have trouble with that, just get in touch with reception. But those list of gifts show us the variety and range of people that we have. And God wants us to be involved, and he equips and enables us to do those things. But those gifts are not there for yourself. Those gifts, if you read them, are all about other people. And it's about engaging and reaching out. And I've read into this, being a body. Okay, we're not really a body, but what it means by body is that we're a practical, physical presence to each other and to the world out there. We are called to be the practical, physical presence of Christ in our communities and as we gather. But when we gather, are we being practical? Are we taking part in what's happening? Are we journeying with each other in that? Are we united in where God's taking us? And there's a question, where is God taking us? And when we're part of the body, when we're in playing our part, using those gifts in the right way, then that enables us to listen and hear what God is saying. What part do you play when we gather? I've had to think about other things I've been involved with on a Sunday morning as we gather. They're not in any order. But these are things which, sorry, not me, that we are involved with. I've done a few of them. They're not in an order. Welcome team, stewards, music group, tech team, children, youth leaders, refreshments, prayer team, readers, communion, servers and preparers, minibus drivers, cleaners, and there's quite a few more that I might have missed. I apologise. But this is just things that have happened on a Sunday morning. And if people aren't practically getting involved in those things, they can't run. We've got a bit of an issue at the moment with youth work. It's not happening. And people are saying, why? Well, it's because no one's stepping up. And there's other ministries which need help and support as well. And it's not a moan, I'm just being real. That if people from within don't step and say, can I get involved with that? Even just a little bit. And I say, I can do it for 3 months. Then we won't be able to run all the youth and children's work that we want to run in September. Come and speak to us about stepping up and being practical respondents to what God is doing as part of our fellowship. And there's things that happen on other days of the week. We need more life group leaders. You know, that might be something you want to do. And it's not the first time you've heard this. But we're not magic. I can't magic people up. When I was first called to become, to think about training to be a minister, my first thought wasn't, yippee. But what happened was, it's like, I was told, well, don't worry about it. We'll take our time. We'll speak to people. You can try and start doing things. You can learn, test that call. And sometimes we're afraid when we just sit there and we're like, I'm not called to do that. I'm waiting for God to tell me what I'm called to. Well, maybe you just need to give things a go. But God is asking us as a church to be much more than just practical volunteers. As I said, we want to hear and listen to what God is saying to us as a church. And one of the most amazing ways is that God is leading us to a place of more interaction, more listening and feeding back of what God is doing. And we're encouraging life group leaders to do that in life groups, is to explore what God's saying and feed that back. And it's something we want to do as part of our Sunday gatherings. And that's why we've made Faith put in charge of this role called creative worship. And we're going to watch a video now where she's going to explain what that means and how as a church, if we can embrace it, it'll help us to listen and know where God is leading us.
Hi, my name's Faith. Here at Lady Baptist Church, I'm part of the Ministry Leads team, specifically for Creative Worship and Women's Ministry. I'd like to take you on a short journey through this short video, where I hope to explain a little bit more about my role with Creative Worship and how, along with the ministers and other ministry leads, I'll be looking to explore and hopefully help to facilitate elements of creative worship here at Rayleigh Baptist Church. The Bible tells us, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. As a Christian, have you ever experienced doing what you think you should be doing? For example, spending concentrated time sitting in a quiet place, reading your Bible and praying, but feeling far from God and often quite distracted. And then in another moment, you could be doing one of those everyday kind of tasks like vacuuming the lounge or washing the car, doing the dishes, and you encounter Jesus and have an amazing time of fellowship. Now, I'm certainly not saying that spending concentrated time in his word is wrong. And for some, that is a wonderful way of connecting with Jesus. We know that our aim is to have God's word, the Bible, etched inside us. And that can only happen if we spend concentrated time studying it. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes it's not about what we do, but how we do it. Engaging from a place of heart rather than a sense of duty. And that act of heart connects us to Jesus in a very powerful way. I'd like to encourage you to consider the word creative. What does it say to you? What are your thoughts? Maybe you think that the word creative only fits some people. Maybe you think, or you've even been told by a parent, a friend, a teacher, that you are not creative. The Bible states that we are created in the image of God. God, the ultimate creator. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that he formed our inward parts. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. We praise him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So it is by design that we all have the ability to be creative. Now I know, along with all of you listening to this, that that doesn't mean that we are all born artists, writers, musicians, or photographers. The dictionary says this: creative, relating to or involving the use of imagination or original ideas to create something. Now there are a variety of ways to express creativity within worship. Some of the more obvious are music, prophetic painting or drawing, sign language, dance or drama. And then there's journaling, poetry, spoken word, story writing or storytelling. And for longer term projects, we could use things like scrapbooking or photography. Then we have things like sharing testimonies or prophecy, gifts of knowledge and prayer. And now these are some things that people may not consider to be creative expressions. But within a worship context, the use of all of those things comes out of an encounter with Jesus, Holy Spirit, from a place of experience. And being able to put those God-given ideas, words and thoughts into something that you share makes it a creative act of worship. We all have different ways of learning and expressing, and we all have different personality types. We've got introverts, and there's extroverts, there's thinkers, and there's feelers, there's outdoorsy people and indoor people. I could go on and on, but the point is that God has made us all different, and that's such a good thing. He also created us with five senses, which can be a great way to explore different ways of expressing our worship. To get started in thinking differently, being intentional and seeking to participate so that we may all be encouraged, each time we start a new preaching series, I'll be challenging us all to ask God how we can engage with that series and how we can express anything that God may be saying to us through it. Now, if you have any Holy Spirit-inspired pieces of creative work, from drawings to poetry, prayers or words of prophecy you feel that offer the church at this present time, would you be bold enough to share those with me or your life group leaders? It can also be shared anonymously if you prefer. Anything that you want to share can be sent to faithgorell@rayleighbaptist.org.uk. It would be so encouraging to see everyone engaging intentionally, asking God to reveal to them if he has something of his heart to share with us. We hope to be able to share things during and to have a time of reflection at the end of each series so that we can collectively see what God has been saying, both personally and corporately. I have received some lovely written pieces already, and I've had a beautiful drawing sent to me that was done in a time of worship at home by Rosanna Conway, and you can see that on the screen now. I will hopefully be looking to have people come in to run an assortment of sessions or workshops on things like Bible journaling, verse mapping, prophetic painting, and other forms of artistic creative expression. And we'd very much like to be seeing people step forward from within our own church family to share skills that they have with others who are keen to learn or hone existing skills. Now, I realise that this kind of expression won't be for everyone, and that's okay. But for those of you who feel that this could be a way to engage, to encourage others, and to be encouraged, I will look forward to hearing from you. Now, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to come and speak to me. I am growing into what God has called me to, so please be gentle. And I can say with certainty that I will not have all the answers. But together, we can seek his face and lean into all he has for us. Together, let's explore more of what God has for us as a church, not only within the building, but so that it overspills, that we may encourage others in our community to encounter the living God, the author and the creator of our faith.
So, what does it mean to gather? Well, I don't have a definition or an answer for you, but what we like is that create a space where we can encounter God together, where we can listen and share to what he's saying to us as a church family. That might be less preaching time, which might be good for some of you won't like that, but more opportunity for us to share what God is doing. Because that encourages and excites me more when I hear of God working in people's lives. And as we hear God being able to work in people's lives, it encourages and enables us to think God can work in our lives too. And this is a long journey. We're not going to get sorted straight away. And all those things Faith mentioned, we're going to slowly introduce and help some of you to do those things, which all help you process what God's saying to you and to us as a church. Our prayer is that you get on board, you think that this is something you feel is right, and that as we gather on a Sunday, that you'll be prepared more to come and share. We'll have more space and time for testimonies, for words of prophecy, all those spiritual gifts. But it's not just for Sunday, it's for life groups and all the other times we gather, whether it be two of you or 10 of you. And our prayer is that we can start to hear and experience God better as a church family. And if we do that, then I think we'll become a better body of Christ.